sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win, that's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
What's up, good people? How y'all doing today on this Tuesday, March 12th, 2024? I am in the building. The Playmakers here. Got a show for you today to work on. Hey, I'm talking college basketball today. I got some news and notes from the NBA, but that's about all the NBA I'm going to do. I'm going heavily on college basketball today because it is champ week. Tickets are being punched. We are one quarter of the way of tickets being punched. We got more tickets to be punched today and throughout the rest of this week leading up to Sunday for Selection Sunday. This is the week for teams to make their moves, to salvage their season and what the case may be. I'm talking straight college basketball today with some news and notes from the NBA. So welcome to the Shooting Lights Out, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to be here today. Happy to do this today. So like I said, I got some NBA stuff. And we're going to get to the round of hardwood. That's how we're going to do it. And then we just going to focus on college basketball. So let's go ahead and get to a round of hardwood. And to begin a round of hardwood, Luka. He was trying to get, he was trying to continue his streak of 30-point triple doubles, but it ended at Chicago. Chicago, I beat Chicago by 35. So, but he was trying his hard to get that 30 point. He finished the game on Monday night with 27 points, 14 assists and 12 rebounds. Ended his record, his NBA record setting 30 point triple double streak at 6. But his triple double streak still continues. However, he just doesn't continue with the 30 point triple double that ended at 6. But his overall triple-double streak continues on, and that man, Luka, is a bad man. I don't know what to say about Luka Doncic, but I think the only thing Luka is probably missing is having a team around him where he can actually win the championship. That's pretty much it. Outside of that, I mean, Luka is special. So it's gonna be interesting to see how the Dallas Mavericks move going forward. When I think if I remember correctly, they are in the play-in spot. They're trying to get out of the play-in spot. That's gonna be hard to do because you got the Kings ahead of them, the Lakers and the Warriors behind them. You got the Pelicans ahead of them. You got the Phoenix Suns ahead of them. So it's gonna be a hard one to do for Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the Dallas Mavericks. But hey, anything can happen within these last few weeks of the season, or last month of the season, however you want to look at it. But it's going to be one of those things that you want to pay attention to down the stretch, all right? So shout out to Luka. Our next article takes us to the Atlanta Hawks continue to get hit and hit hard. The Atlanta Hawks continue to get hit hard. I mean, shout out to y'all for getting Kirk Cousins on the football deal, even though you pay him $100 million guaranteed. But man, Shaquille Bey torn ACL, done for the season. He would not be returning this season, obviously. You still got Trae Young that is out. You have Jalen Johnson who's out. And you have the backup center. I can't remember his name right now. He's out. Atlanta is getting hit left and right with injuries at the wrong time of the season. Y'all heard me say when talking to Luka Doncic, it's crunch time of the season. And they just getting hit left and right. Can the Hawks survive the rest of the season? Because currently, if I still remember correctly, they could currently have the 10th spot over the Brooklyn Nets. But the way this is going right now, can they even survive enough so the Nets can't even catch them? Do they even have a big enough lead right now so the Atlanta Hawks can't catch them? Because I mean, not Atlanta, but the Brooklyn and Nets can catch them, because Atlanta is dropping left and right. It is amazing to me how much they are dropping tonight, okay? It's just a big, speaking of injuries, not as severely as it may look, but Raptors star becoming a star forward. Shergon sprained his ankle and bruised his knee. When he went down, it looked a lot worse, okay? It looked a lot worse than what it was, okay? Just one of those things where you're thankful if you're the Rockets that it's just an ankle sprain and a bruised knee. It's not nothing like a torn ACL or what, just Achilles, anything like that. That will most likely would have ended his season. So he should probably miss a week or two, or not, maybe 3 weeks at the most. And he should be back for the Rockets. That's the Rockets. They still trying to make a push for the playing spot. Now, when they get there, it's a hard chance that they will. But they still trying. They still got the opportunity to get there. So we shall see what they do going forward. And if they can make it happen, you know. Shout out to him. Next article from the NBA. Tyrese Maxey clears concussion protocol. He is available tonight when it's part two of the 76ers and the New York Knicks battling at Madison Square Garden. The 76ers won a very low-scoring game over the weekend. I think it was like 79 to 75, if I remember correctly. I want to say Sunday. That was on Sunday, if I remember correctly. The 76ers winning that game, a game that they needed. Also, the Knicks needed as well to get a hold of the fourth seed in the East. They still have the Heat and the Magic fighting for that. 79-73. Yeah, it was on Sunday. 79-73. The lowest scoring NBA game in quite some time. Because we always say scoring is up. We got dudes dropping 16, 70 left and right. We got teams scoring 140 whenever they want to. To see a 79-73 game in the NBA is quite different. It just felt different. Like, dang. This is crazy. Nobody can get to 80. But yeah, round two from that is tonight. And the Sixers would get a starting point guard back at Tyrese Maxey. So that should help them out. We'll see how Jalen Brunson and the beat up New York Knicks feel going into this one, because they can use this win to keep that four seed away from the Magic right now and the Miami Heat, who are both our 5 and 6 seed, who is chasing New York right now. So it's. I'll get back to my Magic in a minute. Oh, I already had that on there. I had that twice. But speaking of my Magic, we are extending Jamal Mosley with a 4-year extension. And well deserved, coach. Well deserved. Because what this team has done, what you have done with this team is a marvel. This is a young team. This is not a veteran led team. This is a very young team. So for Jamal Mosley to get a 4-year extension is credit to what he has done. Okay. This was announced earlier today around 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the morning that we have extended Mosley to the 27-28 season. Magic president of basketball operations, Woodman said, quote, Jamal and his staff have done a tremendous job not only this season, but since we hired him back in 2021. His preparation is worth that. The ability to connect with the players and passion he brings to the job every day brings positive results both on and off the court. We are very happy with Jamal lead. We are very happy to have Jamal lead the Magic for years to come. And hey, Coach Mosley's only 45. He was hired back in 2021. And the crazy thing is, this team is currently the fifth seed right now, 37-28 right now. Lost two games in a row. Lost to the Knicks. Got blown out by the Knicks. And we blew a big lead to the Indiana Pacers at home. So we need to get that back right. We need to right that ship. But nevertheless, still, the Magic is overachieving. Nobody expected the Magic to be fighting for a 4 seed coming into this year. Not even me as a Magic fan. Didn't expect it. But I'm happy that we're here. We're doing our thing. The Magic have increased their victory total each season on the Mosley, including a 12-game improvement to 34 in 2023-2024 to 37 so far this season, and we still got games to play and more. So the Magic currently are the fifth in defensive efficiency this season, on pace to finish in the top five for the first time since 2009-2010. So what is going on with the Magic right now? I am enjoying. I am appreciative of it, okay? It's been a while since we have been able to enjoy some good Magic play. And that's what we getting here, okay? Appreciate what I'm seeing here. My man, YZ Hefe, what's going on, my brother? Thank you for joining in on the show. Appreciate you, my man. Appreciate you. You're doing a great job in everything that you do. Mentality, special mentality. Mentality is my great. Especially when you, when YZ go off on politicians, it's must-see TV. I'm just going to say that. Or I say must-see video, okay? Because it really is. Wise actually goes off on politicians. It don't matter if you're Republican, Democratic, Independent. It don't matter. If you do something that don't make sense and Wise knows about it, oh, he's going to let you know on mentality. So shout out to my brother Wise. Also, shout out to Cole Johnson. Y'all have him. He's been doing his thing. Total Football Talk was awesome today. Got to watch that with Sensei Drew Willingham. A great show today, fellas. Appreciate the love that I've been getting from everybody. But nevertheless, like I said, the Magic, love what they're doing today, love what they got going on. Appreciate what Jamal Moses has done with that team since 2021 to where we at now. Still a very young team, so we still got a lot to learn and figure out, especially when it comes to postseason play. But love it. Paolo Banchero becoming an all-star this year. Very appreciative of that. Enjoying what I'm seeing, enjoying what's going on with the Magic. So I'm definitely happy with that. All right, that will wrap up our NBA talk for this episode, okay? I gave you 14 minutes. Now, we're going to take a commercial break. Sorry, never do this. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we diving in heavy on college basketball, starting with the ladies. We'll be back.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed.
Thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to buy WWE, I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, aka the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is a basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay. Now don't get me wrong. Ricky, I respect what he says. He could very well be correct. But I gotta be honest with you, the fact that Khan is interested in supposedly buying WWE, I mean, to me, that's definitely worth talking about. Now, I should mention this, shout out to Ricky, by the way, and I gotta mention this, that even Jim Cornette already had something to say, and he said, and I quote, "ridiculous to think that could happen," unquote. A wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler, and everything that WWE could have done with him, and, you know, everything that he could have shown and, you know, offered for the wrestling business. You know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like, in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like, I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So, basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and, of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Particular episode was about world-class championship wrestling. And the episode title is, you know, WCCW Wrestling's Lone Star Legacy. And because I am the Bear of Texas, and I do hail from the Dallas-Fort Worth area of the state of Texas, world-class championship wrestling was basically my territory as far as being a wrestling fan goes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
The Playmakers Bar is proudly sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, the number one shop where sports fans across the world love to get their sports gear and fandom on. A wide selection of gears from every league, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, the NCAA, and of course, the WWE. But it is football, basketball, baseball, hockey, even soccer, golf, no matter what sport it is, there is sports appeal for every fan of every sport. Fanatics, with sports fan shop and a fishing license, everything.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out here on this lovely Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. We're getting closer and closer to the most fun time of the year. That's why this series now is going to take a full turn to college basketball. Starting off with the ladies, it was Champs Week last week, and it continues on to throughout the rest of this week as well. But all the mid-majors, all but one. So we have five champions from the major conferences. We got one left. That would be tonight. I will get to that in a moment's time. But let's begin. Let's go to the ACC where, ladies and gentlemen, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the number four seed in the ACC tournament, put on a tournament performance that will not be forgotten in South Bend, Indiana. As they came out, they had to play Louisville in the quarterfinals. They had no business there. They shot and dominated the number one seed in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the Virginia Tech Hokies. And they handled business in the championship game on Sunday against the NC State Wolfpack, the number two seed in the ACC, to become the 2024 ACC champions, which means they get the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, which they're going to be in anyway. But, man, to put that banner up in South Bend that says ACC tournament champions, it's got to feel good for Notre Dame. It's got to feel good for those ladies. Congratulations to y'all. Y'all deserve it. Great performance. Great job. The Big 12, we are down to the championship game that will be held today, 8 p.m. ESPN or 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. It will be the fourth seed, the Iowa State Cyclone, going against the number two seed and reigning defending Big 12 tournament champions, the Texas Longhorns. Iowa State shocking the number one team in the Big 12, the Oklahoma Sooners shocking them. Kentucky, and for as Texas wise, they handled business. They pretty much handled Texas and Kansas State in the second half to get a comfortable lead and not look back, putting them in this title game tonight. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, ESPN2. The Big 12 champion will be crowned tonight, okay? From the Big 12 to the Big East, where who else was going to win the Big East? Like, come on. What are we doing? Who else is going to win the Big East besides UConn, all right? Besides UConn. UConn smacked Providence in the quarterfinals. Then they smacked Marquette in the semifinals. And then they went against a surprising Georgetown team. I say surprising because, first of all, you got past St. John's. Then you beat Creighton, the 2 seed. You beat the 2 and the 3 seed. You try to go for the hat trick to beat the 3, the 2, and the 1, but the 1 is UConn, so we all understood what was going to happen. And UConn smacked y'all with Paige Buckers dropping like 30. I think Paige dropped like 31, if I remember correctly. Let me go check my numbers, because we knew it wasn't going to be close. We knew that. 78-42 was the final score. Paige Buckers, 27 points, 3 steals, 5 blocks. I mean, come on. What? I mean, we knew what time it was. We understood what time it was. It wasn't like we didn't understand who was going to win. We knew who was going to win. UConn, okay? Shout out to UConn. And great tournament run. Great showing in the tournament by Georgetown as the sixth seed. great showing by them. So I have no complications for them. Then the Big Ten, the shocker of the tournament, because everybody just knew. They just felt like it knew it was going to be Iowa and Ohio State. No. Maryland came in there in the quarterfinals on Friday and said, not today. Nah, we ain't having it. Took them girls out on Friday, shocked the basketball world. Ohio, the number one seed gone. That's that fast. And then Nebraska handled business as the 5 seed, taking down the 4 seed. You know, Michigan, Iowa doing Iowa things. Michigan shot the world as well, taking down Indiana. But we knew Indiana had an injury. We wanted to see how big that injury was going to play a part in what happens to the Hoosiers. And it played a significant role, as you can see. It really played a significant role here. I'm sorry about that. And we saw what happened. Then you had Iowa and Michigan. We knew Michigan was going to win. And the interesting part was either Maryland or Nebraska get to the championship game. Nebraska handled business. They took care of Maryland, and they moved on to face Iowa. And that game, it was an overtime for the title. Overtime. Clayton Clark struggled. Clayton Clark did not have it going in the first half, but she had it going in the second half. Finishing off with 34 points, 12 assists, 7 boards. Nebraska gave them everything they could. 94-89, Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes three-peat as Big Ten champions. Three-peated. They three-peated, okay? As her final run in the Big Ten is officially over, she three-peated. Three straight Big Ten tournament titles. Now, can she catch that elusive NCAA title that she was so close to last year? But Angel Reese and the LSU Tigers said, nah. All right. So shout out to the Peyton and Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes handling business, doing their thing, and winning it for a third time. Now, the Pac-12. Oh, boy. Ooh. Pac-12 was pretty much how it's supposed to win. You know, you had all the top seeds in the first game. You know, Colorado over number 5 Colorado over Oregon. The eighth seed Cal over the 9th seed Washington State. 7th seed Arizona over 10th seed Washington. 6th seed Utah over 11th seed Arizona. Then you go to the quarterfinals. Okay, the 4th seed over the 5th seed of Oregon State over Colorado. The number 1 seed in the land is which is the Stanford Cardinals over the Pac-12. They took care of California. The 2 seed in the Pac-12, the USC Trojans, took care of Arizona. And of course, 3 seed snuck by the sixth seed Utah. And then you had 1 through 4 for the semifinals. Stanford survived a pretty good gouting between the Beavers and the Cardinals, but the number one seed team, the Cardinals, survived. USC, UCLA, round 3, both split. This is the rubber match. USC takes that one over UCLA. And then you have 1 versus 2 for the Pac-12 championship. And what? Juju was not jujuing at all for USC. But it didn't even matter. I mean, Juju only scored 9 points on Sunday against the Stanford Cardinals. Only 9 points. If you didn't see this graphic right here, if you're watching on Facebook, on YouTube, appreciate you watching. But if you didn't see this graphic that I put together right here, if you didn't see that the USC chosen was the Pac-12 champion, and I just told you Juju Watson scored 9 points, you would have looked at me and said, oh, boy, Stanford Blue beat their ass, didn't they? Stanford whooped that ass. They shut down Juju Watson. Oh, the Stanford won. Hell nah. Man. McKenzie Forbes, 26 points on the board. Marsha gave you 10. Paulina gave you 13. And USC controlled the entire game against Stanford. Cameron Britt, 19 points, 10 boards. Ayafon, 18 points with 7 boards. Outside of them two, you ain't get nothing. I mean, 3 points, 9 points, 3 points, 3 points, 4 points, 2 points. Brick didn't get no help. Juju was off, and her teammates picked her up to get that win for the USC Jordan. So shout out to the Lady Trojans capturing the Pac-12 championship. I'm pretty sure my man Jonathan Mathis is very pleased that somebody from that side of the country actually can bring home a championship for once. And, you know, because my man Jonathan Mathis, you ain't know him. He's an L.A. Rams fan. He's an L.A. Dodgers fan. He's a Laker fan. He's a USC Trojan fan. When you hear me say all that, you pretty figure out he really been doing much because the Rams, we had a surprising year. I'm a Rams fan myself. We had a surprising year this year, but we knew we weren't going to win it all. The Dodgers, they always doing what Dodgers do. They make it to the playoffs with a massive work and it gets blown out of bits in the playoffs. The Lakers, they don't know what they want to do with LeBron, AD, and all that team, but they're trying to make a push lately. And then there's the USC Trojans. Football, disgusting. The men's basketball team, disgusting. And then, but the ladies showed up for my man. So shout out to Jonathan Mathis. Hope he's proud of his ladies. Shout out to the USC Trojans handling business, doing what they need to do, and taking home the Pac-12 championship. So that's good for that. And then the talk of all basketball. It was the finals of the Southeastern Conference between the number 2 seed, the LSU Tigers, ranked 8th in the country, against the number 1 team in all of college basketball, the 31-0 South Carolina Gamecocks. I know all y'all had either watched it or seen the highlights, but y'all all know what took place in this game. It's been plastered all over the news and outlets, all over social media. And that is South Carolina LSU round 2. South Carolina won at Baton Rouge. They ran it back in Greenville for the SEC title game. Obviously, the 79-72 South Carolina go back-to-back SEC champions, but that ain't the main thing. That's not the main thing from the takeaway from this. This is the main thing that everybody's talking about. I don't know why they keep saying 6 players were ejected, okay? A whole lot more players were ejected. The fact they keep saying 6, that's what this bothers me. Because you saying if 6 ejected, it'd have been more players able to play to finish out the game, okay? So, for those who are trying to figure this out, and those who don't know and want to know what's going on, this is what happened. LSU has the ball. Flo Johnson has it. It gets stolen from her, and she intentionally fouls the person that stole it from her. In doing so, South Carolina is celebrating. One of the girls going to JoJo face screaming. She pushes her. Cardoza comes running in, pushes Flo Johnson down, and then Blanche is cleared. Nobody threw punches. A lot of pushing and shoving. Nobody threw punches and whatnot. Flo Johnson's brother comes out of the stands over the scores table onto the court. I'll get to him in a minute. Nevertheless, this is what happens. 15 minutes. We got to sort all this out. What's going on here? What do that? So we had a intentional foul on Flo Johnson. We had a pretty much a flagrant 2 foul. Put it in the NBA term. Flagrant 2 foul on Cardoza, which is an automatic ejection for pushing Flo Johnson to the ground, which you shouldn't have done to begin with. As soon as she did that, I knew she was going for the game. And the bench is clear. When the bench is clear, you cannot be a player that leaves the bench area when the scrum happens. Everybody outside of Angel Reese, who was limping to the bench. Now, let me go right here for a second. Okay, let me get on my soapbox here. For everybody. Matter of fact, let me put this down. For everybody who is sitting here going out to Angel Reese because she didn't get involved into the skirmish that happened. If you was actually watching the game, you would have saw that Angel Reese was limping to the bench. She was walking gingerly because she had twisted her ankle. Okay? She was not paying attention to what was going on because she was trying to get to the bench because her ankle twisted. Why is y'all coming for Angel Reese for the wrong reasons? This is the problem. I know she's plastered everywhere. I get it. Her ankle ain't in the car. I get it. Do not come for a woman who was injured. She was limping to the bench because she twisted her ankle. and y'all want to call her out for not being involved in and defending her teammate? She has a hurt ankle at the moment. What do y'all want her to do? She's trying to make sure it's not bad enough that she can't finish the game. And which she had no choice but to finish the game when I get back to what happened and how everybody got ejected. But for y'all to sit here and comfort Angel Reese is very, and I do mean very, tasteful, okay? That woman was limping to the bench. It was obvious because before the scrimmaging app, I looked at Angel and I'm like, something's wrong with Angel Reese. She's not walking normal. Something's wrong. She twisted her ankle. When she came out on X and let everybody know, like, she wasn't running from nobody. She was limping to the bench. So y'all need to chill out on that one, okay? Y'all need to chill out on that. Now back to this. So, like I said, Cardoza got suspended. Cardoza got ejected from the game. Did Flo Johnson get ejected from the game? No, she just got the intestinal foul is more like a technical foul in a sense. But the whole bench area for LSU ejected, so they starting five, finished the game. And those of you who don't know they signed five, let me pull it up for you. That would be Angel Reese, Anisha A. Moore, Janae Kent, Flo Johnson, and Haley Van Lip. That's they starting five. That's who finished the game. For South Carolina, all their players but six got ejected. Okay. Cardoso definitely got ejected. So you still had Kitts, Hall, Johnson, Pow Pow, and for John, still left in the game. Now, initially, the refs tossed Pow Pow too. Thanks, I believe, thank you to Don Staley to let the refs know because Pow Pow was already at the score table before the scrums even happened because she was getting ready to check in the whole time. Thank you to Don Staley and then the other ref, the third ref, who was the only guy on the ref team, knew that Pow Pow was at the scores table to check in and didn't leave the bench area. She was already at the scores table. So if they would have ejected Pow Pow, it would have been some problems because there was no way they supposed to eject Pow Pow, but they didn't, which is happy they got that corrected. Initially, she was ejected. And Don Staley let them know, y'all is not finna eject my girl who was already at the scores table to check in. And she just had a race for a dead ball to happen. And when the dead ball happened, this will happen to be a chestnut foul and the skirmish happened. And by the way, why do we call this a fight? Why do we use the words fight? This is not a fight, okay? It is people pushing. It's a skirmish. It's a pushing battle, pushing match, shall I say. Not a fight. A fight when physically harm is done, okay? Physical harm is done. That's a fight. One no physical harm. Cardoso was wrong for pushing Flo Johnson. Shouldn't have did that. But hey, she did. She got ejected. Other players got ejected for limited bench error. It is what it is. This is not what we need to see from our ladies in college basketball. We don't need to see this from the men either, to be honest. We don't want to see this in college and basketball, period. That goes to the NBA. But it's a championship game. Tensions got high. Angel Reese and Cardoso were going at it from the start anyway. So you got to I factor that in too. Angel Reese and Cardoso, I'm surprised them two weren't the ones that got into it because they was going at Angel Reese with the unnecessary elbow to Cardoso. Them two pushing each other back and forth, battling in the inside. Hey, sometimes tensions get high and it escalates to a point where that happens. So now the brother. Somebody said it was his cousin, a brother. We don't know which one it is, but for the purpose of this EAPNR, we're gonna call the brother. Okay. Now, people will like to say his attentions were fair. His attentions were good. He didn't want to see his sister get hurt or whatnot. Dude. Your sister isn't a professional environment. I want to put them in a sporting environment playing their game. A game where you know you can't even be on the court. That's why you're behind us in the goddamn stands. To begin with. I don't want to hear nothing about he had a good intent. I don't want to hear that. Because everybody knows you cannot get on the court or on the football field no matter what happens to a family member. Okay? So for, and then by the way, he's been, he actually injured somebody for trying to jump over the, when jumping over the scores table to try to defend her sister for whatever reason. What you gonna do? Hit a woman? You hit a woman? That's dumb enough. That's dumb enough within itself anyway. So you was being stupid on many accounts on this. I don't want to hear about he had good intentions. I don't want to hear that. You do not jump on the score. You don't jump over the score center to defend anybody when your family is playing on it. It's playing a game, a televised game at that too. It says the brother of LSU guard FoJ Johnson was arrested and charged with assault and battery and disorderly conduct by the Greenville Police Department for his role after his sister was shoved onto the court by South Carolina sport. Camilla Cardozo doing the Southeastern Conference tournament game. It says Trayvon Milton, 24, jumped over the scores table to reach the court. Police say Milton made his way onto the court by pushing down an SEC employee and stepping on her shoulders to get past. Milton briefly made contact with Cardozo before he was led away by police. Police said the other two people jumped from the stands but were stopped by authority before making it to the court. As it says, online Greenville police records show that Milton remains in jail at this current moment in time. Stupid! Don't care. You know the environment you in. You know you in a college environment. You know there's a game going on, and you didn't use judgment. You didn't use judgment. You cannot be on the court if you are not a participant. And to make matters worse, you hurt somebody else on top of it. Gotta use judgment, man. He had good intentions, bruh. Everybody knows. Family members know, players know. Family members cannot be that close to you for something like that to happen. This man jumped over an SEC employee, hurt her shoulder, trying to go at what, Cardozo? Another female for pushing your sister? And you a dude? Come on, man. Think. Y'all got to think on that. That don't make sense. Come on, man. Now you in jail being charged with disorderly conduct, battery, and assault. You just got three charges put on you. Three charges. Which you didn't even have to do it. Just let the people responsible take care of it. The coaches, okay? The security team, the refs. Let them handle it. You are not allowed to handle it. The refs, the coaches of both teams, and the security for the arena has to handle that. Not you. But you try to handle it. Now you got three charges put on you. Because you're not using judgment. Judgment, man. You got to use judgment. You can't react. You got to use judgment. Now, instead of the mother of Johnson worrying about her daughter, she has to worry about her son because her son didn't use judgment. Got to do that. Gotta do better. Now moving on. Here's where we at as far as our tournament champions right now. From the A-10, the Richmond Spiders have booked their ticket to the NCAA tournament, win the A-10 tournament. We already talked about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish winning the ACC. Also, we talked about the Big East champion, UConn. Who else was going to win it outside of UConn? Nobody else was going to win that game outside of UConn. Okay. Presbyterian College, they win the Big South, so they get to go dancing in the NCAA tournament. And, of course, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, of course, they're going to win the Big Ten. Once Ohio State got beat, kind of figured Iowa's going to win it. So that's all good and dandy. All right. So moving on. The Ohio Valley champion is the Southern Indiana Screaming Eagles. However, here's the problem. The Screaming Eagles, they can't go dancing. You know why? Because they are in their second year in the transition from D2 to D1. And with that being said, instead of them going, the team that they beat, let me go refresh my brother. Gotta remember who they beat. The team who they beat, they get that spot instead of those ladies. And that's another problem I got. Look, I get it. They made the rule so that it gives the schools time to make the full transition and to actually be accommodated and do what it needs to do to be a D1 school. Just like people want to say he had, like, Flo J's brother had good intentions. The NCAA in this regard had good intentions, but look what you're doing. You let these ladies play in that conference. You let these ladies play in that tournament conference, and you let these ladies win. And when these ladies win, they can't go dancing. They can't be a part of March Madness because of your rule. But they did everything they're supposed to have to do, like a number team can do, to go dancing. But since they're trying to transition from a D2 to a D1, they can't go in their second year being a full-time D1 school. They second year. Not their first. They second year. They can't go dancing. NCAA, do y'all know how messed up that is? Like, you've been better off to tell me don't even worry about even trying to compete for that, because what I'm competing for when my season is pretty much over. Now, yeah, they might get, yeah, they'll be in the NIT tournament, but what I want to be in the NIT for? Like, we just did all this, we won our tournament, and we can't get in. And they blew them out. Oh, Tennessee
Martin. I tell all my female friends how important it is to be equally invested in their finances in case something happens.
So, sorry about that. Let me talk. Tennessee Martin gets the bid. So, y'all letting a school that is 16-6 get a tournament spot over a team that is 24-6. And that team blew them out by 18 points. No, by 28 points. My bad. 28 points. Because they would have scored another bucket, it would have been 30. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. The Southern Indiana Screaming Eagles can't even dance, and they beat the team that's going dancing by almost 30. What sense does that make? Tell me what sense does that make? Because you made a stupid behind rule that says it takes 4 years for a D2 school and the D2 school to fully transition to a D1 school. And then they second year being a D1 school, they won 24 games. They are literally the best team in the Ohio Valley Conference. They are 17-1 in the Ohio Valley Conference. They won a championship game by 30. And the team that lost by 30 is going dancing. And they are 16-16. Don't make no sense. It really doesn't make sense, okay? It don't. If anybody can explain to me how that makes sense, please, I'm all in. Because to me, it don't make sense. A team that's 500 can go dancing over the team that beat them by 30 and it's 24-6 overall and 17-1 in conference play. Matter of fact, my brother Wise, he chimed in again about the whole Flo Johnson brother incident. They will work it out. He says hopefully they will find him and put him on some probation, something like that. Hey, I hope they do that too, but they're saying he ain't used judgment. If he'd have used judgment, I'm pretty sure he already knew that, but somehow he lost that judgment part of it and he should have known the coach, his security is there to handle all that and not him. But yeah, So shout out, I'm gonna shout out to the Southern Indiana Screaming Eagles. Y'all ladies did everything y'all supposed to have done, and y'all are wrongfully being left out of the NCAA tournament over a 500 win team because of a stupid rule. Over a stupid rule, okay? So just know I'm on y'all's side. Y'all should be dancing. Y'all should be in the tournament, and it's stupid that y'all are not because y'all deserved it, okay? I just want to get that out there. All right, obviously, we talked about the USC Trojans doing their thing despite Juju Watson not having the best performance on scoring 9 points. They still handle business against the Stanford Cardinals. We talked about, we just talked about not that long ago, South Carolina going 32-0, getting a win over the LSU Tigers doing their thing. The Southern Conference goes to the Chattanooga Marks. They are going, those ladies are going, this is for winning the SoCon Championship. And then from the Sun Belt, the Marshall Thundering Herd, the Herd are going dancing for winning the Sun Belt. That is what I am talking about. Congratulations to you ladies right there. And to close out this part of the Women's Talk for College Basketball, we got four more championships to be punched, four more tickets to be punched today. In progress right now, we have the Horizon League Championship going on between Green Bay and Cleveland State on ESPNU. If I give you an update right now or where we at, give me a second. All right, that game has went final, and Green Bay wins the Horizon League, and they won in the dominant fashion, 64-40. That game has just went final. Shout out to Green Bay. Those ladies are going dancing with a dominant performance to boot. Man, oh, man, congratulations to those ladies right there. Green Bay going dancing out of Horizon League. All right. Coming up at 4 p.m., about just a little over an hour from now, we have the West Coast Championship for the ladies. It's Portland versus 14-ranked Gonzaga at 4 p.m. on ESPNU. 30 minutes after that at 4:30 on the CBS Sports Network, the Summit League, North Dakota State versus South Dakota State. Is it going to be Bison? Is it going to be Jackrabbits? Who is getting their punching ticket to the NCAA tournament on the women's side? That's at 4:30 on CBS Sports Network. And then the last little bit tournament is tonight, 9 p.m. ESPN2. It is the Big 12 Championship. It is the Iowa State Cyclone versus the fifth-ranked Texas Longhorns. The winner wins the Big 12. I know Cole Johnson. I know the queen of who's Megan Price. They are looking forward to them ladies to go back-to-back Big 12 champions. But the Cyclones might have something to say. That is at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ESPN2. And before we get out of here, here are the teams that are on the bubble as far as on the women's side right now. Michigan, the last four guys is Michigan, Miami, Auburn, and Marquette, last four in. Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, Arizona, and Mississippi State. One of them is going to get knocked out because, as you can see on the first four outline, Green Bay, they just won their conference. They are moving in, and somebody, either in the last four in or the last four guys, is moving backwards because Green Bay has stolen a bid from somebody, and they ain't going to be happy about it. But also on the next four outline, now that we know that Green Bay is definitely in, Penn State first four out, Washington State first four out, Columbia first four out. And the next four out is California, Villanova, Washington, and St. Joseph's. Okay, that's it for our ladies talk right here. We're going to take another break, our final break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive into the men, and we're going to call it a day, all right? We'll be back.
The Playmakers Blog is sponsored by Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment. So much to stream. From shows and movies you can only catch here on Paramount Plus. Whether it be from CBS, BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, and so much more. The new home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series, movies, and sports when you sign up for Paramount Plus with Showtime. Catch exclusive originals from Paramount Plus such as Star Trek, Strange Wars, The Family Stallones, Halo, and so much more. You also can stream live sports like NFL on CBS, the UEFA Champions League, The Masters, and the SEC on CBS. Paramount Plus, you can stream up to 3 devices when you create an account. So Paramount Plus plan starts at $5.99. If you hit that link below, you can get a free trial. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but 3 countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Now, before I get into the final topic of the day, which is the men's college basketball, because they are preparing for Champs Week as well, I got a big announcement to make. Shooting Lights Out, along with Ringside Chaos and Internet LC, the 2 commercials that you saw me play in today's show, all 3 shows will be a part of 502 American Angel Radio Station. It is a big, I am proud to say this. So this episode will be shown. So Shooting Lights Out will be on Friday mornings from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., which is pretty good. It's leading you up into first tape for all my first tape fans like me. But Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., Shooting Lights Out on 502 American Angel Radio Station, okay? All right? So I'm happy to announce that. It's a pleasure to be on a radio station and have this on a radio station, along with Ringside KRs, where we'll be on Tuesdays, and Internet SC on Thursdays. But more of that, y'all get with the Bear Man, get with Alex Akazawa. He will have all the details he needs to know with his shows about that. So y'all get with him on times on those days where his show would be on the radio station. But we are proud to announce that 3 shows from the Playmakers blog will be on 502 American Angel Radio Station. And don't look now. The other 3 shows, which is all football show, could be added when football season get back around. Just let you know. But yes, Shooting Lights Out, Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., 502 American Angel Radio Station. So happy to make that announcement. Now, time to get to the men's side. Now, I know, as my man Dre, they said a few weeks back when he was on here, we all looking forward to the women. We are. But there's a lot of people who still cover the men like I do. We still pay to the men because this is that time of the year, okay? It's going to be a lot of things happening this week in the men's side. A lot of this is going to be punched in the NCAA tournament. And we're going to see how this is going to work for the men. Because the ladies been killing it. Now can the men follow suit and follow with the ladies and giving us some great games during championship week? Because beginning off in the ACC tournament, it is set. Okay. North Carolina, the 1 seed. Duke, the 2 seed. Virginia, the 3 seed. And Pittsburgh, the 4 seed. Okay. That's how that ACC tournament shapes up. Of course, North Carolina, Duke are the 2 favorites to come in there. Pay attention to Virginia, because Virginia, for some reason, even though they suck on offense, they still play a hell of a defense, okay? So if they can make it ugly and keep the score very low, Virginia has a chance to knock off anybody. But for the most part, we're looking for a round three between Duke and Carolina, with Carolina up 2-0 on Duke. Carolina should be the favorite going in here. We'll see how that goes. That tournament, they're getting started as of right now with Notre Dame and Justin Tech going at it. I'll give you an update on that a little closer to the end of the show. All right. Next up, it is the Big 12 tournament. The Big 12 tournament is set. Earlier, we had Oklahoma State and UCF go at it. I can give you that fun. That game should be over. That game should have been over once I jumped on here and started talking. Let me see if I can get you that score real quick on the men's side. Let's go to the Big 12. Because the winner of that game will be facing BYU, the fifth seed. And that team would be the UCF Knights. 77-62 win over Oklahoma State to begin the first round of the Big 12 tournament. They'll be meeting the BYU Cougars tomorrow at 11:30 Central Time, 12:30 Eastern Time. So that should be interesting. See if the Knights can make a run here. I doubt it, but never know. All right. Coming up, should be tipping off in a matter of moments, will be the other first-round matchup in the Big 12 between the West Virginia Mountaineers and the Cincinnati Bearcats. And the winner of that game would get the Kansas Jayhawks as a sixth seed. Kansas being a sixth seed is very surprising to me. I don't know about y'all, but the Kansas Jayhawks having a sixth seed in the Big 12 tournament, that is very strange for me, okay? Because your top four seeds is Houston, the one, Iowa State, the two. Who saw Iowa State being that good this year? Baylor, three. Texas Tech, four. BYU is the fifth seed. Kansas is the sixth seed. I have never seen Kansas have a low seed in the Big 12 tournament as much as I've been watching basketball. That's crazy. A Bill Self team, a sixth seed in the Big 12 tournament? We talking about the team who owns the Big 12. And then Houston just came in here and took it. I'm just wondering, if I'm the only one, that's fine. I'm just saying, am I the only one who feels strange that seeing a Kansas Jayhawk team as a sixth seed in the Big 12 tournament? I'm just wondering, okay? Going from the Big 12 to the Big East. Oh, that's before we get to the Big East. We do have news out of the Big 12. Speaking of Kansas, Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCall Jr. are out for the Big 12 tournament. That's problematic. That is very problematic, okay? So even though Houston is the one seed, you had a feeling Kansas will probably be ready to rock and roll and do what they do. But with injuries of that caliber to that team, it's going to be a little dicey for the Jayhawks to come back and run the Big 12. So this actually could be Houston's tournament to lose. So that's a big blow. Big blows to the Kansas Jayhawks and Bill Self. Let's see how Bill Self handles it and what does he do going forward. All right. From the Big 12 to the Big East, obviously, we know who's the one seed. That would be the UConn Huskies, the reigning defending national champions, the reigning defending the Big East champions, all that good stuff. They're the one seed. Creighton, the two seed. Marquette, the three seed. St. John's, the fifth seed, who we battling Seton Hall, the fourth seed. They'll get started tomorrow when they have Butler and Xavier go at it, Providence and Georgetown, and then Villanova and DePaul, but nevertheless, either Marquette or Creighton are the only two teams that can probably knock off UConn. And outside of that, I don't even see any one of them do it, because I don't see Creighton shooting like they did the last time they played UConn. I don't see them shooting darn near 60% from the field and 60% from three-point range and knocking off the UConn Huskies like they did. And Marquette has no answers for UConn whatsoever. They got blown out twice. So I have no faith in Shaka Smart and the Golden Eagles or Marquette whatsoever, just to be honest. I have no faith in them. I have none. I lost faith in them. When you get beat twice the way that they got beat twice by UConn, I lost faith in you, okay? Last year, I had a ton of faith, then you slipped up. This year, you ain't giving me nothing to cheer about. I have no faith in when y'all can beat UConn, okay? So this is UConn's tournament, just like on the women's side. It's UConn's tournament to lose, and I don't see them losing it, okay? All right, from the Big East to the Big Ten, as we go here. Right now, the projected overall one seed is the number one seed in the Big Ten. That is the Purdue Boilermakers. You have the Fighting Illini of Illinois at number two. The Nebraska Cornhuskers is at three. Northwestern, the fourth seed. Shout out to Snowman. Northwestern, man. This is Wildcats at number four. You know, they'll get started tomorrow when they have Rutgers versus Maryland. The winner of that one takes on Wisconsin, up and down Wisconsin, by the way. And then after that, Michigan versus Penn State. The winner of that game takes on Indiana on Thursday. So as you can see, not a lot of stuff happening so far in the big tournaments. Some little games happen here and there, but after that, the real fun begins tomorrow, okay? Just throwing that out there. That's the Big Ten. From the Big Ten to the Pac-12. Oof, this should be fun. Pac-12. Arizona, obviously, number one. Washington State, two. Colorado, three. Oregon, four. Okay, and then tomorrow you have your quarter. You have your first round. I'll say first round matchup. Washington and USC winner faces off against the number one team in the Pac-12 with the Wildcats of Arizona. UCLA and Oregon do battle against Oregon. So either Oregon or the Civil War rematch or another rivalry between UCLA and Oregon. Who knows? California and Stanford, they fight for a chance to face off against Washington State in the quarterfinals. And then Utah and Arizona State do battle to fight off against Colorado in the quarterfinals. So that is on the Pac-12. And let's move on to the SEC. Tennessee is number one, Kentucky number two, Alabama number three, and Auburn number four. Those four teams get the double bye, which means they don't play for the first 2 days of that. You have the first round matchup between Vanderbilt and Arkansas, winner gets South Carolina, who is the fifth seed. Then you have Missouri and Georgia, and the winner of that game gets to face off against the Florida Gators in the second round. And Florida, this is y'all's fault. You know that, right? The reason why y'all got to face either the winner of Missouri and Georgia is y'all's fault. For one, you went to South Carolina, you had a 10-point lead, and you blew it. And then to follow that up, to finish the season, you lose to freaking Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. How you lose to Vanderbilt, man? A 9-win team beat you. Don't make sense, man. Now, Gator Nation did want me to do a favor foul, but seeing how things was lining up, I don't have time to do a flagrant foul, okay? I have time to do this right here, this little quick synopsis of a flagrant foul on the Florida Gators, because how the hell y'all lose to Vanderbilt? I don't understand. Vanderbilt was an 8-win team going into this game, and somehow you lose to that team. When you beat the brace of Alabama, you beat the brace of Auburn, you smack Kentucky in the mouth, you show Tennessee that you ain't no pushover, but you lose to Vanderbilt. The worst team in the Southeastern Conference, and you lose to that. See, this is why I told Cole Johnson that my faith in the Florida Gators is shaky. If they can make it to the Sweet 16, I consider it a successful season. They made it out of the first week of the NCAA tournament. Oh, you know, they can do that now. How you lose to Vanderbilt? If Vanderbilt can beat you, anybody can beat you. Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. But nevertheless, whoever wins between Missouri and Georgia, you better be prepared because we already did better with Georgia twice. We won both games, but the first one in Gainesville was very close. So y'all better be ready, okay? Y'all better be ready for whoever wins that game. Just beat them down so we get our third shot at Alabama. We already know we can beat Alabama. We blew them out in Gainesville not that long ago. And hopefully we can face off against Kentucky again. We already beat them. We went to Rupp Arena and beat them. And we can make it to the SEC championship game to face off against Tennessee. Who knows? But it's there for the taking, all right? Y'all can do it. I seen you do it. I seen you beat Alabama. I seen you beat Kentucky. Just don't beat that other team that loses to Vanderbilt like you did. Sorry. I'm sorry. Had to get it off my chest because my boys pissed me off. If I'm being completely honest, when they lost to Vanderbilt, I was pissed off. All right. Now, games that we need to pay attention to for today. I already told you Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, they are underway right now. West Virginia and Cincinnati, they should be underway right now as well. I already told you UCL got the victory over Oklahoma State. They'll be facing off against BYU on tomorrow. A little later on today, about an hour and 20 minutes from now, you'll have our second ACC game between the Louisville Cardinals and the NC State Wolfpack. And then after that, around 7 o'clock tonight, the Miami Hurricanes face off against the Boston College. That's how we getting our big tournament started for Champ Week for the men's side. Now, Jordan and I did update his bracketology. And as of right now, going into Champ Week for the men, this is where we sit at, on the bubble. Last four buys, Tom is on Michigan State, despite losing to Indiana. Seton Hall, TCU, and Mississippi State. Last four in, Colorado, who is the third seed in the Pac-12, by the way. Virginia, who is the fourth seed in the ACC. St. John's, Indiana State, Duke. Sometimes tournament time can be a bad part because Indiana State, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you about Indiana State because I felt really bad for Indiana State. I really do. I feel really bad for Indiana State because I watched this team play for their championship. Okay? I watched them play, man, and they play hard. They were fighting. Okay, they played Drake for the Missouri Valley Championship game. They lost to Drake. You'll see it in a minute. 84-80. So the Drake Bulldogs get the automatic bid, 28-6 type of team. So they deserve to be in. And then the crazy part is Indiana State is also 28-6. And the problem is, if you look at the first four out, you got Texas A&M, New Mexico, Wake Forest, and Villanova. If any four of them make a run, don't got to win the tournament. If they end up make a nice run in their conference tournament, mainly Texas A&M and Villanova, Indiana State, who is 28-6, will not be in the tournament. And it would be a damn shame for a team that plays basketball that good, like Indiana State has. Matter of fact, they were actually ranked at one point in time. This is the first time they were ranked since the Larry Bird days. That's how long it's been since they were ranked this year. To have a 28-6 record, and just because you lost your Missouri Valley Championship game to Drake, a team who also is 28-6, you can't get in if a team like Texas A&M can win a game or two in the SEC tournament. And then let's go back to the SEC tournament. A team like Texas A&M, if Texas A&M can, you know, let's say, if Texas A&M can win against Ole Miss, they might get in over Indiana State. If they beat Kentucky, they damn sure getting in over Indiana State. That's how crazy bracketology is, man. When you can see a team like Indiana State lose by four in a championship game, and you got a team like Texas A&M that can win a game or two in their conference tournament. A team like Wake Forest can win a game or two. A Villanova that can win a game or two in their conference tournament. Indiana State is out, and they're in. But Indiana State record, their style of play is great to watch. That's crazy. That's how NCAA is. And then the next four out, you got Pittsburgh, you got Iowa, you got Providence, and you got Memphis. It's crazy that a 28-win team, a 28-6 team like Indiana State is most likely going to be out because I guarantee you one of these teams in the next four out or the first four out, mainly I'm gonna give you Texas A&M, pay attention to. Iowa, pay attention to. Memphis, pay attention to. And Villanova, pay attention to. New four teams right there, pay attention to. And Providence, I'll put Providence in there. So Texas A&M, Villanova, Iowa, Providence, and Memphis, pay attention to those five teams. I guarantee you one of those five teams is going to knock Indiana State out of it. It's going to be a damn shame. It's going to be a damn shame. But you know, it's going to be a damn shame. But that's what we get. That's what we get. If you don't win, if you're in these major conferences, these small conferences, and you don't win your conference tournament, that's what you put yourself in. And unfortunately, Indiana State is in that position. I would love for the committee to put Indiana State in there. I want to watch Indiana State play against some big boys and see if that style of play is really as good as I think it is. I want to see it. I just want to see it. All right? But, hey, that's where we at. That's where we at as far as bubble watch. All right, so now we have six tickets already punched into the tournament. The Atlantic Sun was won by the Stetson Hatters. Shout out to those guys making the NCAA tournament. Good to see how y'all fare in the NCAA tournament, but y'all get the automatic bid. The Big South champion are the Longwood Lancers. They are back in the tournament. So good to see. We're going to see where they are placed at in the tournament. But the Lancers are back in the tournament from the Big South. Obviously, we talked about Drake winning the Missouri Valley Conference because of what happened to Indiana State. So that's going to be something to pay attention to. The Ohio Valley, Morehead State Eagles are going dancing again. They had a pretty good, they had a decent run last time we saw them in the tournament. Let's see if they can do it again because this field is wide open. If y'all been following me this season with college basketball, we all know this field is wide open. All right. The SoCon champion, the Samford Bulldogs, they are going dancing for the first time in decades. I think it's like 30 years or something like that. It's the first time in decades. It could be, look, might be 10. I can't remember. I know it's either 10 or 30. It's an odd number. But first time in decades, Samford Bulldogs are dancing. That's something to see. And the Sun Belt goes to the JMU Dukes. Shout out to James Madison handling business, being the top team in the Sun Belt as they've been all year. They win the Sun Belt, they get the automatic bid, all right? We have more tickets to be punched today on the men's side. We have 5 tickets to punch today on the men's side, starting tonight at 7 p.m. with the Colonia Athletic Association between Stony Brook and College of Charleston, 7 p.m. on CBS Sports Network. The Horizon League on ESPN when we have Milwaukee versus Oakland. That's also at 7 p.m. on ESPN. On ESPN2 at 7 p.m., Radnor and Merrimack do battle in the Northeast Conference. The winner of that one gets the automatic bid. And then one of the big ones for tonight, the West Coast Conference will be determined as the 17-ranked Gonzaga Bulldogs, the number 2 seed in the West Coast Conference, taking on the number 1 team in the West Coast Conference, the 21st-ranked St. Mary's, 9 p.m. ESPN. I am looking forward to that game right there because them two teams, they go at each other. And it's going to be something to watch to see if Gonzaga can still be Gonzaga or with St. Mary's dethrone the Bulldogs from the top of the mountain in the West Coast. And then at 9:30 on CBS Sports Network, the Summer League final between Denver and San Diego State. Can the Jackrabbits return to the NCAA tournament or will Denver snatch them out of that spot? All right. So that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you hanging with me for this hour and 15 minutes show. Talking heavy college basketball because it's that time of the year. Y'all know what that means. March Madness is, ooh, it's getting heated. It's getting heated right now. Shout out to all the teams that punched their ticket for winning their conference championship. Yet again, South Indiana ladies, I am heartbroken for you guys. You guys deserve to be dancing, but you're not because of a stupid NCAA rule. My heart goes out to y'all. For everybody else, congratulations on punching your ticket, winning your conference championship. We got more tickets to be punched throughout the week, starting tonight, when we have 9 more tickets to be punched, 4 from the ladies, 5 from the men, and it continues to roll on tomorrow and Wednesday, all the way up to Selection Sunday, which is on St. Patrick's Day. So stay tuned with your boy. And by the way, just so y'all haven't forgotten, the link is in the show notes, but hey, remember, on the Playmakers Blog Network, we're keeping up with all tournament champions. As you can see, we got them up for you. As you can see, we're keeping up with all the tournament champions. These are the women's. As you can see, we got them all. Go up to the men's. We're keeping it up. We're keeping it updated for you guys. So stay tuned. Keep up. Keep going onto the website, making sure you know who's in the tournament and who's not, because we got you covered. But that being said, remember, Fridays, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., 502 American Angel Radio Station, Shooting Lights Out will be on there, okay? Do not forget that. Check out that radio station. Other stuff will be happening as well. But that's it for today. Thank you guys for joining in on today. Shout out to my brother, Rise Hefe, Cool McCain, Cole Johnson, a host of others that I've been doing work with. And thank y'all for everything y'all done for me to get me to this point as we continue to grow from the Playmakers Blog. So y'all enjoy this week. I'll be back later on this week. I don't know when, but I'll figure it out to give you an update on Champ Week for college basketball. And we continue to rock and roll. Deuces.
You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. through all your trials and your tribulations. You gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.